Hi, you're listening to the Raise the Vibe with Liz podcast. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. I interview today's inspirational speakers and healers. Thank you for listening to the show. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Raise the Vibe with Liz. I'm your host, Liz Peterson, and today I have Reverend Jen Cormier joining me today. We're going to be talking about grief and grace, her Facebook group, her life's work, and much, much more. So a little bit about Jen for those of you who aren't familiar with Jen. Jen specializes in helping people of all spiritual backgrounds and belief systems to transform grief and loss into joy. With over 20 years of experience in the healing arts, she gently guides her clients to heal and find purpose and clarity in their lives. If you're feeling anxious, fearful, or weighed down by loss, Jen wants you to know that there is hope. Through her support, you can find lightness and peace and learn to love fully again. She will help you to honor your grief and move through it so you can restore your trust in life and embrace the next chapter with joy. People often refer to Jen as a ceremonial artist because she brings beauty into dark places. In fact, her own experience with grief after her father's death in 2012 inspired her to become a devoted student of grief for a year. Through that journey, she discovered that grief can be a wisdom bringer and a creative collaborator, helping her to remember her purpose here on earth. That experience became one of the biggest gifts of her life. As the founder of HEAL, a year-long immersion program for women, and the creator of the Walk Through Grief with Grace podcast, Jen has helped thousands of people overcome physical and emotional pain. Her approach as a somatic healing arts practitioner is to help you be kinder to yourself so you can feel good again and show up fully for your family and community. By honoring the sacred in your life, you can live out your unique legacy. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Liz. It's such a pleasure and honor to be sitting with you. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad we get to collaborate again. I was on your podcast. I really had a fantastic time. And I think it's great that you're able to come on my podcast and, you know, talk about this subject. I think it's a much needed subject. I kind of want to dive right in, but I also want to give you a chance to give a little bit of your background beyond your bio and what led you to here. What was that like for you? And then how did that transition in life bring you to the work that you're doing today?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that popped up into my mind when you asked, as you were asking, was I've worked with a couple of different Jungian psychoanalysts, you know, in the course of my adult life as my therapist. And the first one, her name was Mary Bowen. She's a Pilates elder because I spent, you know, over two decades as my main work was helping mostly women, but, you know, all gendered folks in bodies come out of pain through a real therapeutic approach to the Pilates method. So Mary Bowen is one of the Pilates elders. She's in her 80s. She worked directly with Joe and Clara way back when no one knew what that was. And she's also a Jungian analyst. And I would meet with her in her Jungian office and sit with her. And I had a friend who was a little bit worried about me because I kept going off to Thailand to study Thai massage and yoga. And I had all these interests, dance and photography. And, you know, this friend sat down with me and said, you know, Jen, I'm really worried about you. I'm worried like you're running from something. You know, what are you running from? And I said, you know, gosh, like, I don't know, maybe I am running from something, you know? And I sat down with Mary and I brought this to her and she said, wow. So, you know, we would always talk about my dreams. I'm a dreamer. I've been dream journaling since I was a kid. You know, it's a real, that deep archetypal symbolism is really rich and guides my life and my practice. But, you know, we kind of contemplated that and we went off and I went back to her office the next week and sat down and she said, you know what? I've been thinking about you. And, you know, I think that everybody has their thing, you know, like my husband, his thing is soccer, you know, or her husband's like 25 years younger than her. He's great. And they've been together for like, I don't know, decades. He's fantastic. She said, my husband, he's got his soccer. And me, I've got my cats. She always would have like a bunch of cats. She's like, but you, I think you quest. You're a quester. And I don't think you're running from anything. I think you're questing. And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's what it is. So I went back to this friend and I told her, and she's like, oh, okay. I like that. I think that's true. That feels right. So I just say that because I think that so many people that I talk to kind of don't fit, or folks that resonate with me don't fit in the molds, you know, the mold of, you know, this hat or that hat. They, like me, are questers, you know, sort of like visionaries, and they're dreamers, and they get excited about multiple things, multi-potentiates, you know. And I'm this is my long roundabout answer to, you know, I lived my life really following that, just following the energy of what brought me alive. You know, I love that Howard Thurman quote, you know, don't ask what the world needs, but go ask what brings you alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is more people that have come alive. So I think that I just kept following that. Well, what's bringing me alive? Thai massage. What's bringing me alive? Yoga. What's bringing me alive? You know, so all of these different things. And what I found after my dad died is I had this moment where nothing was bringing me alive. You know, that when you get to the very bottom of the ocean and it's this belly of the whale, I was talking to one of my teachers yesterday about. And I think that's what's so hard about grief, you know, that feeling of everything just got pulled out from underneath you and you are floored. And who am I? You know, that like our very identity of who we are, you know, it's like a clean slate for a moment, or an abyss, or, you know, everyone has a different experience. But I think there's also a lot of potential there out of that deep, dark, creative womb-like space to birth the next, you know, the next phase of our lives after a major loss. So I think that that's how I got into doing grief, was really, you know, I started weaving my life back together and coming back alive after my dad died, not by running from my grief, but by just being with it. And then the beauty of doing this work now is I get to bring all of those pieces that I was, that I've collected over years and years of questing, to this work of helping people come back alive.
Oh, I love that. And I love, you know, the questing and the being that true seeker and following your intuition and asking yourself that question, you know, about being alive. Is this bringing me alive? And I like that you brought that into your life, you know, brought all of that forward after your father passed away. Can you talk a little bit for our audience? What was that process like for you, and how did you follow your intuition? How did you go deep into the grief and really work with it post your father's death and really find healing for yourself?
You know, I think, Liz, it was, there were a few parts to it. As I look back, I think the first part was having, like, I had a couple of mentors who just, my mentor, Dr. Lewis Melmadrona, he had said to me, when I was at that rock bottom place, you know, you're going to take grief by the hand all year long, walk with it, you know, let grief be your teacher. And, you know, having that support of a mentor in my life and a community was really, essential for me. And then that was sort of in combination of going out in nature by myself, you know, going out in nature and walking. And, you know, there's that element of healing in nature and healing with movement. And then also bringing in, bringing back my creativity. And I didn't do that by forcing it, because I didn't want to dance. I was a dancer. I was a, you know, but I just gave myself the space every day to be with grief. And that was, it just, could it, I gave myself permission to let that look like anything. You know, I didn't have to do anything. And I think that that liminal space is so necessary, and it's really hard to describe, but I think that we all need to have enough space, you know, in our day, in our week, to really drop into that really liminal, deep rest space. And then our creativity will come back, you know, on its own from there.
Yeah. Nice. I like that. Yeah. When I was really deep in my grief, being able to go into that space and really sit with it and really follow, you know, what flowed in that day and kind of be in the moment was really pivotal for me. And I was so grateful, you know, to have that space and time to myself and to process. I think that was really important for me. And it really lined up for me to be that way. It was really, you know, a gift to me. What would you say to someone that's experiencing grief right now?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, just like you mentioned, that there are gifts in this process that feel so painful. And sometimes you feel like, am I ever going to be myself again? Is this ever going to change? Is the fog ever going to lift? You know, those are things that people have said to me. And you can't see the gifts when you're in it necessarily, you know, but knowing that as you move down that river later, you'll go, wow, that's what happened, you know, and this is the gift that I'm carrying now from that. And this is what happened through that experience. And it's okay that you can't see it at the time. But there is beauty, you know, and giving yourself the space to be in the present moment. I think sometimes it's like we have to be, you know, we have to you know, we can't even take things day by day, right? And if you're like, I can't even get through the day, it's like just moment by moment, you know, moment by moment. And I think that if you're really suffering right where you are, get up and change space. You know, that's something that I tell my clients, you know, if you're on the bed, if you're in the couch, if you can just make it outside, you know, just make it out the door, even if you can't go for a walk, people are saying, oh, go exercise, go for a walk, go, you know, and when you're in that first season, it's just so insurmountable just to get out the door. But see if you can just make it to the porch, you know, or just walk to the mailbox and back. And that that can be the little micro moment of hope that you need to help you through that hour.
I love that, Jen, because remembering back, it really was kind of getting out of my own way every now and then, you know, and not doing anything big, because our energy system, when we're experiencing a deep loss, you know, doesn't really have the energy in order to do anything large at all. It has to be small and incremental in the moment. Now, if it's, you know, a different kind of loss, maybe we can do a little bit more, you know, depending on, you know, the severity of the loss or what the loss was. But there definitely is that kind of cradling ourselves and kind of being gentle with ourselves and, you know, moving slowly. And like you said, you know, move from the couch, you know, maybe to the porch, you know, just getting a change of scenery, or, you know, taking a hot bath or walking to the mailbox to get your mail, doing something for yourself, just kind of stepping out of that moment in time, you know, can be helpful for that forward momentum for yourself. What were some of the gifts that you pulled from your experience?
Well, grief taught me, I had no idea what I was doing, just kind of being with grief every day. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to set a timer and I'm going to, I just actually watched, on Apple TV, there's a show called Shrinking. I don't know if you've seen it. Harrison Ford. But it's about three psychotherapists and it's hilarious. And in that one of the psychotherapists recommends to someone, 15 minutes of listening to music and grieving hard. And I cracked up because that's what I did as a yoga practitioner. I was like, okay, I'm used to doing 11 minutes of something, chanting or asana practice or pranayama breathing. I'd set a timer for 30 minutes, 15 minutes. I was like, well, I can handle 15 minutes. I think that's about it. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what the gifts were. But as I showed up every day and I said, okay, grief, we know, what do you got today? There would be these glimmers. I remember I started, some days I would just walk in circles for 15 minutes, and it was not logical. I would play music, I would light a candle, I would, and it ended up becoming this ritual that just every day, like, oh, lighting a candle feels good. I'll just do that every day. Okay, I'll walk in a circle with this walking stick. That felt right. I'll do, and it just built it. It just built into this ritual. But I remember, and then I started moving and I started dancing. And it wasn't because I told myself I should or I needed to, but I just started moving and breathing in that 15 minutes. And I remember this moment where, my arms were just open and I was like, oh my gosh, this feels so good. Like this, it was like this moment that was so pleasurable. And then I felt this guilt, like, oh no, but I'm in the middle of my grieving practice. I'm supposed to be grieving. Like that's not what I'm supposed to be feeling. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe grief is teaching me something. Maybe I can also feel this pleasure while I'm also grieving. And that the gift for me was understanding that I could be in a grieving process, and that was also a healing journey, that those two things were the same, and I could feel sad and angry and empty and depressed and pleasure and gratitude, and all of these different emotions would come through, and I was like, oh, all of this is the grieving process. All of it is okay. And I think that there was a real gift of acceptance in that year, in that process, and softening and welcoming, okay, this is what is. And I'm not gonna fight it because at the very beginning, Lewis offered the invitation, to see it as a teacher. So it wasn't something to battle or something to get over, so that attitude of welcoming all of the things was a real gift and something that's I'm still being taught, 11 years later.
Wow. That's really beautiful, that you were able to meet yourself where you were and to be able to take that time that you already had in your practice and kind of transform that into something that served you in the moment. That was really beautiful. That's a beautiful gift. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, because I think sometimes our, if you do any parts work, whether it's IFS or other parts work, we have all these internal pieces, right? The internal voices of, the who's trying to manage us and, so we have all these bits. And I think sometimes we're like, oh, well, I should do my yoga practice because that's what's the right thing, right? Or that's the acceptable thing, or that's, but sometimes, the thing that we laid out for ourselves is not the most appropriate thing for what we're going through in the moment. So it's good to be flexible with ourselves. And it's not the easiest thing for all of us to be gentle, but it's something to practice. How gentle can we be with ourselves and go, let's try it this way. Let's not beat ourselves up for this. And that's a lifelong journey for many of us to not beat ourselves up.
Right. A friend of mine said to me once not too long ago, it doesn't have to be that hard. And I think that echoes what your mentor said when he said, it's not a battle or something to get over. Just be gentle with yourself. How do you work with your clients and allow them or teach them to hold this space for themselves?
So it's a process, and it's slow. And I think that can be frustrating sometimes, because we live in a culture where we want things fixed now. You know, we want the magic pill, we want the magic thing, you know. And really it takes time. So the way that I work with my clients, I work with them in seasons. So, you know, and the seasons are about 3 months long, right? And there are four seasons over the course of the year, because healing is something that is a process, right? And sometimes we have these moments, right, where someone says just the right thing at just the right moment, right? Or you read just the right quote at just the right time, and you know, we have an opening, or there's an insight, or there's, and we need those can happen right in an instant. And I think that healing really is an unfolding, and a lot of it is, it's not, you know, like we think about the educational system, right? You're gathering more knowledge, you read more books, you get more, and really, you know, the healing and the soul work of it is really the opposite. It's about letting things go. You know, we don't have to acquire more. And even though I do have some processes and we do have some guidebooks, it's like, this isn't about reading more books or learning more things. Sometimes, yeah, we need some tools. Like here's a breath practice. Here's a mudra. Here's a way to handle that challenging situation. But really, we need containers where we have spaciousness, where we're supported, where we can let things go. And that's how we get lighter, right? So it's creating the space to breathe and dance and move and share and, you know, do the things that we need to do to let that layer go. Because we've been carrying around a lot of, you know, heavy rocks sometimes, little bits of guilt or shame, or, you know, stories that maybe don't serve us anymore, or things. So I think one of the things that's so helpful for my clients is the space to see those things, to like bring them out into the light, and then go, okay, I don't need to carry this around in my gut anymore. And now there's some space to see it and put it down, right? Or see it and transform it, or compost it, right? So.
Oh, I love that, compost it. It really is a somatic experience to get all of that out of the body, because we don't want to store it in the body, right? And starting to move really gets that energy going. We want that energy movement in our bodies so those blocks can move out of our bodies. And then as those blocks move out of our bodies, then the emotion can well up and we can shed another layer of our grief, sadness, or whatever it is that block is, whatever that trauma was, you know, in the past that we're still holding on to, be able to release that from the body. Are there regular practices that you work with your clients to, that they can use into their, or bring into their life and use to be able to process this?
Absolutely. There are some, you know, we do a lot of work with sound. So breath and sound and movement. I advocate strongly for doing some shaking on a regular basis. So that's something that's part of my practice. You know, never estimate the power of a walk outside. You know, that's the first couple seasons after my dad died. That was all I could do. You know, just, I would walk in circles. And, but I think, it doesn't have to be huge. You know, sometimes we think we've got to go 0 to 60, right? I'm not moving at all. I'm here on the couch. Now I've got to join the gym, right? And we think, you know, there's that part of us that like, we've got to change. Like, let me sign up for a race or something. But really, how I help my clients is really through little tiny little micro habit changes. Shifting something that you do first thing in the morning, adding a 3-minute shake, doing some things that you can add movement in, but it doesn't have to be going to an hour-long class, way down over at the gym or something. You can start folding these things into your routine in a very, very simple, least common denominator way, so that you can be successful, and 3 minutes at a time can shift so much.
I like that you pointed out the emotional release exercises, because there's so many available these days that people can do. And it can be, like you said, just 3 minutes in the morning of shaking, or throwing a tantrum or pillow screaming or whatever we need to do to emotionally release, what is stuck, what is there. Like if you're feeling anxious or you're getting ready to do something that your body's feeling uncomfortable, a little shake beforehand is always great. It completely releases it out of your body and allows your body to relax.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you pointed that out.
It's like you look, for those of us that are dog owners or dog lovers, you look at dogs walking down the street, meeting another dog, having a moment, and they'll shake it off right away. But we're sort of socially conditioned to stay upright and, look a certain way, but if we were really fully in our bodies without all these overriding stuff, we'd have a weird moment at the store with somebody and we we would shake it off right there, but we don't, because we have to look normal, right? Walking around in our day. So then we store that stuff and it accumulates over time. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because it's so true. If we look out in the animal kingdom, we can see energetically like what they're doing with their body, releasing all of that. And how much better do we feel afterwards when that happens? It's like the person who goes for a run to release, their anxiety. It's because they're moving, right? The dog that shakes it off, it's like literally shaking off the event, right? I like to tell my clients to just brush it off. Where you're literally like taking your hands and sweeping your arms and your legs and just brushing it off, right? Just setting that intention to just get rid of whatever just happened, not hold on to it anymore.
Yeah. So wise.
What are some other things that some other tools, you've talked about a few of them, but what are some more things that your clients have really said valued them in their healing process?
One, I think, is having the community of other people that are going through something similar, that also didn't have the best relationship with their mom and their mom died and they have to, unpack that in a certain way because of, complex relationships. I think it's one thing that people see, oh gosh, I'm not alone in this, is there's often, rifts in family systems after a loss. Siblings, there are lots of folks who have a brother that they're not talking to, or a sister, or siblings, real challenging interpersonal relationship pieces that come up. And that's not something that you talk about normally, when you're out at lunch or coffee. And when you're in a deeper space, like when you and with a community of folks who said, I'm going to work with my grief for a year, then you can see, oh gosh, I'm not alone in that piece. I'm not alone in this piece. So really understanding on a deep level that I am not alone. And I think we can intellectualize that, like, oh, I guess I'm not, there's millions of people in the world, billions of people. I'm sure other people are going through this, but to actually sit down with people that you get to know and you enjoy and you trust and you're building friendships with, and you see that a lot of your circumstances are shared and very similar to others. I think that is really powerful for the folks that work with me, which is why I prefer to bring people into community and into a group setting as opposed to doing all one-on-one work. You know, I do have some one-on-one clients that do, you know, seasons of work with me. But that is so powerful. I think that's one of the most powerful things.
I think so too. I love group work. You know, I've been doing group work since my my late 20s, and it's always so powerful because you get to hear everybody else's stories and you see something of yourself or your own life in that story, right? And you know, it can uplift you out of what you're doing or help you with the situation, like you were saying, with family members. You do several groups. So you have groups that you talk about on your website. You also have your Facebook group, Walk Through Grief with Grace. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you started that and how that's able to help everyone?
Sure. So the name of the podcast is Walk Through Grief with Grace. And then for folks that are on social media, and if you are on Facebook, there's a private community group called Grief and Grace. And that group is a space. Right now we're having a summer reading group. So we just read the Orphaned Adult by Alexander Levy, and we'll be reading The Grieving Brain in July. So we've got, you know, some ways that we can learn together and share. We've got a book discussion group every month over the summer. And then I offer seasonal free trainings for folks, you know, three keys to heal after loss. And that might be loss of a parent or a spouse or a child. So there are different events that I'll offer for free for the community there. And it's also an opportunity for folks to connect, you know, with other people who have gone through all kinds of variety of losses. So that's the Grief and Grace Facebook group. So, you know, anyone listening is welcome to join that on Facebook. And then I have, you know, so that's all of my free offerings to the community. And then I do have, you know, my year-long program. That's a group program, the Heal Immersion program. And that's something that folks could choose to do if they want to do some deeper work, or, you know, I've got a couple spots for private work. And then, and then I'm starting now because it feels really right. People have been asking, like, to do, everything has been online so far, Liz, you know, because of over the last 3 years, because of COVID. But folks are really wanting to be back, you know, in person. I know I've been so enjoying the in-person connections that I've had recently. So I'm offering my first, since COVID, my first in-person retreat in Teotihuacan, Mexico. So that's another group. It's called Reclaiming Joy. So that's something that, you know, if people are feeling called to go out of their sort of normal everyday environment and connect with other people, that's another group that's going on. So that's a full answer of the different layers of community of creating. Yeah.
Nice. And a fantastic area. Definitely on my to-do list. I was due to go there right before lockdown and she canceled, you know, which was great because everything started to culminate right there when we were going to be in Teotihuacan. So God, great energy. What a great spot to hold an in-person event. That's going to be fantastic, Jen.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's good too. We were talking before and you were talking about your podcast, and I love all of the different topics on your podcast. And I like how you said, you know, you don't have to have had lost somebody to listen to it because there are gifts for you, you know, in the podcast, in the discussions that could help you in your life either now or looking forward, you know, when you inevitably, you know, have a loss in your life. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you brought that forth and what that's done for you and your clients?
Yeah, I think that the podcast, it's interesting. I haven't, like, one of my oldest friends said, oh, Jen, I haven't listened to your podcast yet because I just can't bring myself to listen to the grief stuff, you know, and she had also lost her dad. And so I was trying to explain, I was like, well, it's not really depressing. It's pretty inspiring. You know, this podcast is about, it's really about living, truly, because we have a loss, and how do we keep living, really, is the question. So I think there's a lot there for anyone who is experiencing the ups and downs of life, right? And many of us have lost a parent or both parents or siblings, or, you know, death happens all the time. But then we also have breakups. We also have divorces. We lost a job. Also, you know, there are house fires. There are, you know, all pets, you know, we have an episode about pet death, you know, so nobody is immune to, you know, birth and death. You know, it's happening all the time. And it is really beautiful to listen to the wisdom that comes through, you know, guests like yourself. Your podcast just came out, and there's something in there for everybody. There's something in there for everybody. And there's also every seventh episode, there's a practice or a meditation. So we have one that's a laughter meditation, a meditation for anger. Episode seven is to sense the support of the seven generations of ancestors. So there's a deep relaxation. So if you can't sleep, you know, and you need to relax. So I think that there's a variety of insight and offerings on there.
I like that you brought up what your friend said too, because so often that is our culture to move past the grief, get over it, move on. We don't want to dip into it. We don't want to feel it. And that really stunts our healing process.
Yeah, it does. And what, you know, the longer that I've been really focusing as on grief as my work, Liz, I'm just recognizing that so many things that ail us are woven with unfelt, unprocessed grief and trauma from loss. And what happens is we end up numbing ourselves in all of these ways that are, you know, socially acceptable, unacceptable. Maybe they're, you know, some are healthier than others, but, you know, all kinds of addiction. If you kind of roll back and go, well, where did this addiction come out of? You know, there's a lot of grief behind that. So, it's interesting to look at, if we can befriend our grief and recognize this is a part of life, how can we become a more balanced, healthier, free person, and really, really tap into our substantialness, our wholeness, because we're not trying to chop pieces of ourselves off, you know.
Yeah, and so often we don't even realize, like you were saying, like we're carrying around things from even childhood, you know, that's unprocessed trauma, unprocessed grief that we don't even realize is grief, right? And then it layers, it piggybacks on what we have going on in the moment. And I mean, there is a silver lining, there's a gift. Like if we have awareness about that, we can heal the past, you know, that's piggybacking on the present. But a lot of times we end up just, you know, putting it in the luggage bag and carrying it along, right? Until we realize later in life, like, why am I feeling this way? What is all of this that I'm carrying? Like, I feel like I'm carrying, I'm burdened by so much. And then we look back. I know I see this with clients and different people that I talk to, and there's things that we've been carrying along for years that are just dying to be released. Like a better term, they're up to be released. They want to be let go. The body really doesn't want to hold on to everything. You know, we don't have to be this perfect person looking perfect all the time. We're allowed to cry. We're allowed to grieve. We're allowed to talk about it. Yeah. We're not alone. I mean, if more people, you know, had the conversation and did the work, you know, more people would realize, you know, they're not alone in their process. They can move forward. And it's like programs with yours, Jen, where people can come together and do the work together and realize that, you know, they're not alone, that, and other people are having these experiences too. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You had also mentioned before about our ancestral lines. And I want to bring that forward too, because you talk about this on your website, how you honor your how do we honor our ancestors and what's been lost, but also honor ourselves at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we have, we all come from different lineages, right? We have our both parents, and we can have really challenging relationships, right, with parents and grandparents and great grandparents. And sometimes when folks get into, you know, I think it's a big, I don't want to say fad, but it's an interest of people now, really, to look at their ancestry, right? There's ancestry.com and there's all these DNA testing that people are really curious about and interested in. And I think that that's just sort of skimming the surface. I think it's a beautiful exploration, right, of family line and lineage. And there's also such potential for healing around what has come before us. And when we heal, you know, we can do it in a really specific way. We can, you know, there are different practices around the world that folks, you know, to honor ancestors, right? You can have an ancestor altar, you know, you can put out an ancestor plate and give your ancestors food and coffee. And, you know, there are ancestor honoring. I loved when I was in Thailand, there are these little ancestor houses that are almost like little bird houses at the front of almost every house. There'd be little Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups, you know, in front of all of them. So different cultures and traditions have different ways to honor ancestors. I guess the piece that I can just say about this is that time is not as linear as we think it is. Time is cyclical, and we have a capacity when we do our own healing. If we know our parents have had a really challenging life, our grandparents, right, or our great grandparents, when we heal, we can. Healing can ripple out in all directions for those who came before us and those who come after us. And I think that's just a powerful possibility to say that.
I love that. So how can people work with you and find out more information about you, Jen?
Yeah, so my website is Walk Through Grief with Grace, just like the podcast. So they can check out the podcast at Walk Through Grief with Grace on Apple or Spotify. The website hopefully might be updated with events and things like that. And then also, if they want to connect via the Facebook group, if you are on Facebook, you can join the Grief and Grace private Facebook group. And I'll be offering some free events, probably a couple of them in the month of September. So yeah, I would be so happy to connect with anyone who is listening, who'd like to have some community around them, whether you've had a recent really challenging loss or not, or if you're just interested in really embracing the process of grief as a lifelong healing practice. I'd love to connect with you. Yeah.
Nice. I like that, because it's not just a one and done thing, right? It can be a lifelong process of, you know, healing that grief, that stored grief that we don't know or carrying around. I think that's beautiful, because different times in our lives, these things come up to be shed. One layer at a time. We're not given everything at once. It'd be too overwhelming, right? So it's a process throughout our entire lives. Thanks for offering that. I also like to ask my guests, what is a jewel of wisdom that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
A jewel of wisdom. I think what I would say is when you get into a place where it feels insurmountable, see if you can receive some support that you might have been pushing away. So I think that there is, I know it's been true for me, and I see it with a lot of my clients, is we've been trained to push away what is there to support us. And the wisdom that came through recently for me is you have everything you need. So just like in nature, there's poison ivy, there's also an antidote, right? There's, if there's something that's hurt us, there's something there that can heal us right in the vicinity. And we have everything we need to be supported and to heal, but it's simply a matter of being present to what is there for us, and also to opening our hands and opening ourselves to those things and saying yes to support. So, if you are listening to this and you have gone through a big loss, for example, if somebody said, can I bring over some groceries? I've got some soup I want to drop off. Can I hold that door for you? Can I, the simplest things, just check in with yourself. And before you automatically say, no, I'm fine, right? Or I've got it, say, wow, thank you. Yes. Absolutely, I'll accept that help. And if we can train ourselves to open and accept support in those little ways, some stranger at the grocery store asking if they can grab that bag for us, right? Absolutely, go ahead. I would love that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Then we can open up to deeper support that we might need to heal from grief.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Jen. That's really important. That's beautiful. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is Liz Peterson, and you're listening to Raise the Vibe with Liz. Be sure to go online and look for Jen on social media and her website. I'll have all of the links in my show notes, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and my website at raisethevibewithliz.com. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day. Remember to get out there and raise the vibe. Bye, Jen. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you for listening to today's show on Raise the Vibe with Liz. If you like this content and want to support me, please go to Patreon at Raise the Vibe with Liz or click the link in the description of this show. And remember, change starts with you. So get out there and raise the vibe. Thank you, everyone.